Well, listen, I am so excited for tonight because I've been just stewing in the Holy Ghost and really feeling like he has a real word for us. Last week was a powerful time when Lynn shared that word from Jeremiah 18:1. Just, and the part that stood out is violent reworking of the clay into a new vessel, that concept. And that our lives would become a witness of God's goodness, a demonstration, a transformation. This was kind of what I shared. And change that reflects intervention of God's love. Like change that's so obvious that God is behind it that people are like, whoa, what happened to you? You know, like it's only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think this is what we have to press into in this next season that we're in is, you know, can you imagine what it would look like to be invaded by the Holy Spirit in your life and God begin to release change? You know, some of you are like, you struggle with emptiness. You know, that your life has no meaning, you don't belong, you feel useless, no purpose. Some of you may like dream of freedom from addiction, no longer caught in the terror of being pulled apart by something that only causes self-hatred, guilt, shame, and then just a path of broken relationships. Maybe psychological bondage, something where you're overwhelmed with fear, anxiety, depression, guilt. You know, these are real things that people feel they cannot escape from. Even Christians feel like they're trapped in this thing that they just can't escape from. How about physical ailment, you know? If you're in this place and you're in pain, man, that pain just doesn't stop and it gnaws and it drains every ounce of energy. You know, if you've been there, done that, you know what it's like when something on your body is suffering. You know, how about probably even more in this place, how about a stale life? You've lost your joy. You've lost your peace. You've lost a sense of purpose. You know, where you wake up and you're like, yes. Some of you wake up and go, oh, no. Well, Jesus is the answer to that search in a genuine way. I'm not trying to be trite. Jesus is the answer to that. You know, he was crucified on the cross for your sins and brokenness. Chosen for death instead of a criminal by those who he came to save. He was buried and on the third day he rose again in fulfillment of centuries of prophecies. He made himself a witness to hundreds on earth before he was whisked up by the Holy Spirit. And then sent the Holy Spirit as a promise, a guarantee, basically saying, I am leaving the Holy Spirit as a promissory note. I will be back. He said in Acts 1:4, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit and power. Not many days from now, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Not knowing what to expect, the disciples responded. They stayed in Jerusalem and found a place to pray. We all know what happened. The Holy Spirit came. Tongues of fire settled on each one. Back in the day, and there that came out in worship too, this whole idea of fire and this. Back in the day, we had this saying that, you know, said, set yourself on fire and people will come from miles to watch you burn. And, you know, it was referring to passion, not physically with gas and lighter, you know. But, you know, and some people said that was John Wesley. Some people say, no, it wasn't him. It was just all this. But anyway, it was a great statement, regardless. God's intention for each of us is to receive his power, the fire of God, so that our changed life would be a glorious witness to everyone around us. This is what happened in Acts. After the Holy Spirit came, thousands of people received the news of Jesus, his death and resurrection, as a sacrifice for our sins, and the fire of God ignited a community of believers. Now, You know, it says, and with in Acts 2, it's this incredible glimpse into the kind of life that is just available for us to just walk in and experience. It's this, look at 2:40, like some of the points here. And with many other works, he, Peter, an apostle, testified and exhorted, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who received his word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added. Perverse means crooked, not right. You know, and so be saved from this not right generation. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers, verse 42. Verse 43, then fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. All believed and were together and had things in common. They continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. It's this lifestyle of sharing these intimate meals together, connecting deeply with believers, and then going to the temple and just worshiping and praising God and hearing the word. It's big, it's small, it's constant every day, being flooded with the real living God. You know, so we see salvations. This life, this Acts 2 reality was filled with salvations. People being saved from a life that's not the way it's supposed to be. Wrong things being made right. This is the lifestyle of us as believers, to see over and over every day wrong things being made right in our lives and those around us at our workplace. The apostles' teaching, this, you know, the kerygma didache, the gospel preaching, this is the content of what they surrounded themselves with when they broke bread from house to house. They went over, like it would be like me going to Josiah, and we start talking about the gospel. Oh, man, today God broke in on someone's life. Like, there is nothing more exciting in this world than seeing a living God break into someone's life and disrupt all the darkness, all the curses, all the things that are wrong, people being healed, people being set free. This is what it talks about when it says going from house to house breaking bread. You know, it's going to each other's house and, did you hear what happened? Now, my question is your life group like that? Don't point the finger at the leader. You know, are you burning? Are you bringing good tidings? Are you bringing testimony? Are you celebrating? God is alive. He's doing things in our midst. Do you have a testimony to bring and slam at the table? Everyone's going, guess what? Wake up. Guess what happened? Wow. You know, it's like it's real living God moving in our midst, and you get to testify and share. And there's nothing more exciting about that. It's contagious. This is what we have to press into. God, And it's not something we have to go, oh, God. We just got to start living it. Let God move in your hearts. Let God move in your lives. Give him the opportunity for intervention in situations. Man. Fear, a felt sense of awe settled on hearts. You know what's interesting is the fear, that felt sense of awe fell upon hearts before the apostles even did signs and wonders, before miracles took place. There was a sense of awe, like people were filled with the greatness of God. If your life is dull, start meditating. Start just thinking. That's what I mean by meditation. In a non-religious way, just start thinking about how awesome God is. Now, you know what? If you can think of nothing more, like, oh, well, he doesn't, like, really show me anything good. You are fed, right? Thank him that you are not starving. You're safe. And you used to not be safe. Thank him, God, you've made me safe. You're surrounded by people who love you. Thank you, God, that I have more people than myself that love me. Think about it. I mean, listen, and there's probably, all of us have a story. All of us have something we're delivered from. Depression, perversion, loneliness, guilt, shame, unbelief, fear, anxiety, whatever it is, addiction, whatever it is, you remember how empty and lonely and how powerless you felt, how hopeless. Consider that. Consider the greatness of God and just go, oh, God, oh, thank you. Thank you. I mean, even if I'm not super excited, I remember what it was like. It was so horrible with you in my life. I have hope. I have comfort in my soul. Even if we're suffering the worst hell, the worst trial, the worst tribulation, we know, we have an assurance that he's even with us. You know how bad that would be alone? With no hope, no like sense that at least God is there. He's walking through this with me. Praising God and having favor. You know, I like that song, the lyrics to it, that, you know, it's how I fight my battle. And how does it go about the praise before? Praise before the breakthrough. That, like, that concept. You know, will you praise him because he is good? He is God before any breakthrough. You're just thanking him for being good. You know, that's what they were doing. They were praising God and having favor. This word favor is charis or grace. Listen to this definition. Particularly that which causes joy, pleasure, gratification, favor, acceptance, for a kindness granted or desired, a benefit, thanks, gratitude, a favor done without expectation of return. The absolutely free expression of the loving kindness of God to men, finding its only motive in the bounty and benevolence of the giver. Unearned, unmerited favor. Charis stands in direct antithesis to erga, works. The two being mutually exclusive. God's grace affects man's sinfulness and not only forgives the repentant sinner, but brings joy and thankfulness to him. It changes the individual into a new creature without destroying their individuality. Charis, when received by faith, transforms man and causes him to love and seek after the righteousness of God. Charis is initially regeneration, the work of the Holy Spirit, in which spiritual life is given to man and by which his nature is brought under the dominion of righteousness. It's like righteousness settles in like this massive cloud of favor that just says, I'm going to camp out and cause blessing to come upon your life. You may think you have a lot of mess in your life. Well, when the cloud of grace and charis comes, it just begins to settle. I mean, the atmosphere changes. You know, like the song we sing? Oh, that song is like, the atmosphere is changing now. When God shows up, when charis shows up, when his grace shows up, everything in your life begins to respond. It might not be instant, but everything begins to erode. Fear, anxiety, doubt, depression. It just is flooded. And as you open your eyes, more of the grace goes in your eyes because your eyes are the window to the soul. And you begin to be flooded. And the Holy Ghost loves to flood. He loves to flood things. Listen to this. Grace remains constant in. Oh, wait. Can't forget any of this definition. It's really good. So charis is initially regeneration, the work of the Holy Spirit in which spiritual life is given to man and by which his nature is brought under the dominion of righteousness. The maintenance of his condition requires an unbroken and immense supply of grace. Grace remains constant in and basic to a believer's fight without against the devil and his struggle within against sin. Renewal is stimulated and impelled by God's illuminating and strengthening of the soul and will continue and increase so long as the soul perseveres. So basically, the only thing that will stop the grace of God from flooding and rushing and impelling your heart is you giving up. If you don't give up, the grace, the Holy Spirit, the agent, will just continuously and constantly be working in your behalf. God's grace ensures that those who have been truly regenerated will persevere until the end of life. Grace in itself causes you to have the courage, the hope to persevere. God's grace, this entire work is called sanctification, a work of God whereby we are renewed in the whole man and are enabled more and more to die daily unto sin and to live unto righteousness. And then we read at the very end of this Acts 2 reality here, more salvations. People were added every day. This is our life. This is our life. We just step in and trust God. We invite him to come and mess everything wrong up and make it right. Listen to this, you know, we talked about emptiness. If you're empty, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. He loves to fill things. With him comes eternal purpose. He shows up, eternal purpose comes. You feel like your life doesn't have value? Invite the Holy Spirit to fill you and you are flooded with value. Vision, value, worth. The greatest commodity in all the world, the greatest agent, the greatest person, the greatest presence shows up and begins to shift things and give you value and worth. Want freedom from addiction? Holy Spirit is a specialist of breaking strongholds. He literally shows up and darkness and the strongholds shatter. He is life. He is light. He literally just comes in contact with wickedness and it begins to tremble. Even now. He rushes into repentance. The minute you open your mouth and just say, God, I'm sorry I fall short. The Holy Spirit, before it comes off your lips, he's there flooding you with regeneration and washing and healing. He is amazing. He hears your cries. It is a lie that your cries fall on deaf ears. You have psychological bondage. Perfect love casts out all fear. Scripture says, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Hope in Christ is the anchor of your soul. Holy Spirit is joy unspeakable. All through the book of Acts, whenever the Holy Spirit was there, people were strengthened, encouraged, filled with joy. That is his specialty. And that doesn't mean necessarily happiness. You might be going through all hell, but down deep inside, you have this assurance that you're like, oh, I am full, ready to tackle the worst challenge. You're not happy. It's not fun. But you have this reverberating joy that is just saying, I am loved. I am bought with a price. I will overcome because he goes before me. Oh, physical ailments, by his stripes, you are healed. There's nothing that God can't heal. His healing's available. The cross has made that healing available to every single person here. A stale life, follow the example of the early church. Focus on Christ and his transforming power. You know, part of the problem is we focus on ourselves and we're always seeing things half empty. We're focusing on others and we see them half empty. Why don't we start looking through the mind of Christ and start saying, you know, I have food, I have shelter, I have people who love me around me. I don't really like them, but they still love me. You know, I have places I could go. I have people I could go if I'm really struggling. Man, if we just began to look at the massive provision God has given us in our lives, we would start feeling warm inside because that grace starts stirring up. Thanksgiving's released as a byproduct, and we just start, oh, God, thank you. Thank you. Look at your kids. Sure, they're struggling. But look at God's faithfulness over their lives. When we get to heaven, I think we're going to watch, there's going to be a library where we could check out videos, like films of what our life was meant to be without God's intervention. And we watch them and we go, I had no idea. This was going to happen to my kids. This was going to happen to my wife. This was going to happen at my job. This was going to happen. God, you are amazing. You rewrote the plan of the enemy. And we wonder. I mean, think about it. How many of you are like, well, I don't know. I don't have much to be thankful for. It's because you've been deluded and deceived and lied to, and you've believed the lie that you have nothing good. You don't even know what we're delivered from on a daily basis because of the God's keeping grace. And because we don't know, we can't be filled with thankfulness. Just try saying, God, you are so good and you love me and you have such good intentions for me, more than I have for myself. For all the things that didn't happen to me. Thank you, God. Focus on Christ's transforming power. Stand in awe at God's greatness and what he does in you and those around me. You know, look at the people around you. Even in this room, I can't even make it a couple chairs before I can think of a testimony. Lucas, you are alive and not dead. That's a testimony. I look around and there's testimony and testimony and testimony and testimony. I once was lost, but now I'm found. He saved a wretch like me. Gather daily with one accord in the temple, from house to house. You know, it's all so different, but it's all the same. It's one life group is this time of connecting and sharing about what the Lord is doing in your life. Sunday is this time where we're like, we get to just pour our hearts out. And I'll tell you what, if it's at like 10 degrees now, if we just give an ounce of effort to cultivate an expectancy before we come to this place, an ounce of just meditating on God's greatness and the potential of what he could do and what he's done in our life, and just fill our hearts with thanksgiving before we come, it would rise from 10 degrees to 100. It would just, we'd be astounded at what would happen if we put an ounce of effort to just stoking our heart and saying, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. I want to just glow tonight at church. I want to glow this morning in church. I just want to be added into the company of saints, and I want this fire to be stoked as we're all brought together and the Holy Spirit just starts moving in our midst, swirling around and just bringing forth the praise and the expression to heaven. You know, in all your gatherings, even meetings like, well, it's a work night, I dare you, invite the Holy Spirit to come. When you get here, say, Holy Spirit, flood every room in this place. just really want believe God wants to move in this place tonight. Youth group, I'm telling you, you know, youth, all it takes is a couple of you just to determine that you're going to go after God. I talk about this because it pressed me for my whole life, because it was such a stark. Dave Schmitz used to be the only youth out of about 30 youth. And he'd come in like a room like this, and everybody was talking. Everybody's talking. It's before church starts. And he'd come up like this to the front of the youth room and just go like this. 10 minutes before anybody even stopped talking. You know why? Because, and it didn't start, it didn't keep going there. That was just the time he expressed something that he cultivated all week long. Because he'd go in his room and he'd lock himself in this room and just worship on his guitar and just worship God. And then when he came to Sunday service, or it was Friday night youth group, Sunday morning youth group, he would come up and he'd just stand there it was like a memorial saying, God, come. Fill this place. I am here. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I'm here. It takes people like that. Are you one of those people? Are you one of those people who will just say, I'm going to go and I'm going to begin to get before heaven and just, because I'm hungry, I want the Holy Spirit to do something in my midst. And I'll tell you what, you will spark jealousy, holy jealousy. Expectancy will increase in the place. In your life groups, come and be full. Folks, there's more than, if life group is boring, if a meeting is boring, if church service is boring, shame on us. Because it takes a lot. You have to physically resist God to keep him from moving. He's like, go, please let me go, because he loves people more than we do. He wants to break in. It's like we have to restrain him. No, we want to be bored. That's so stark. It's like he just wants to get messy and get in people's lives and just cover them with the warmth of his love. You don't have to sit there, oh God. You just have to go, God, you know, I love you and I thank you. And you just start letting praise come off your lips. Start inviting him. Start telling him how awesome he is. That's what praise is. Thanksgiving. Thank you, God. You know, at this point in time of every service, if you're not being moved because he's touching you, because he wants to meet a need, I dare you to start praying and saying, God, right now, would you open people's eyes, open people's hearts? Would you flood people right now? If there's someone here, and start being led by the Spirit of God in intercession. Start praying, interceding for people, Lord, right now. And you know what he might do? He might even just release the gifts of the Spirit. Like he promises, he might give words of wisdom, word of knowledge, like, you know, there's someone here, actually, now that you're praying about this, of people who need healing. There's someone who needs healing right now, cancer. And you come and say, I just really feel like there's someone here that needs to be healed of cancer. And you release that word of knowledge, and God just begins to move and heal someone. And you're just there, little old you, and the person with cancer comes up and says, it's me. And you're like, oh, this is really, really cool. This is cool, not that you have cancer, but because God told me someone did, and you're here. So he's going to just touch you and heal your body now. And these little scatterings of people being led by the Spirit, releasing life of God. At life group, at Sunday service, at meetings. You know, and I want to tell you something. Stop expecting things from the Holy Ghost a certain way. Isn't it enough just to trust that he can do anything he wants and just let him do whatever he wants? Like, people don't have to shake and fall over. People don't have to just sit here like this. People don't have to like this. They can? What is it to you? Why do you have to control how God moves? But what if it's just like this? You okay with that too? Or do you want something spectacular? Well, you know, years ago when God touched me, this happened. That's what I want again. God's like, do you want me or do you want that? And I'm convinced in my heart, I just want God. I just want God. However God wants to move. I'm like, I don't care how it's packaged. In a powder form, in a liquid form, in a big juicy burger form. Whatever kind of form you want to give me, God, I'll take it. Lean, fat, I prefer some like yummy stuff, fat. No, I'm just kidding. Come on, let's respond to God. I really feel he's going to stoke some of your hearts. I really felt today that the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to touch some of you. Heal bodies. Break off strongholds. And I just want to open this altar. In fact, if all the life group leaders come up and all the altar ministry, would you just come up right now? Elders, deacons, life group leaders, come on up. Because I want to pray for you first. And I just want to pray that God touches our hearts and our lives, that he'd stoke our devotion, our hunger, our flame, our dependence on him. And then I just want to invite everybody in this place to just come and find someone or just camp out at the altar. But there's plenty of people now for every single person to get prayed for healing, filling, the Spirit, just absolute encounter with God, agreement in prayer, transformation, miracles, healings, good things being released, petitions before God, whatever it is, there's just going to be a release of the Holy Spirit, and there's plenty of laborers. If people annoy you tonight, then you could come and just be alone. But I invite you to come. I invite you to just spread out and just take some time to receive from God. Hey, guys, turn around this way. I want to pray for you. Lord, I just pray for every single leader up here. Lord, I pray that heaven would be opened up and poured out in their lives in a whole new way, Lord. Lord, I pray that this would be taken to life groups, to youth group, to prayer furnace, that this impartation from heaven, hunger, fresh fire, would come upon us, stir us. And I pray that even the little seed that's planted by the Spirit of God tonight would just be breathed on by the Father, and it would begin to rage and take over. Lord, I pray, let heaven come down in this place tonight. Lord, I pray that this whole place would be reserved for the glory of God. This whole place would be reserved for healings and miracles and signs and wonders and fresh impartation and fresh vision. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Open up, heavens. Open up. Open up. Open up. Let the glory of God come down. Let your healing come. Holy Spirit, move in a fresh way tonight. Move. Live. Be great in our midst. Come on. Just invite him. Come on. Just open your hearts. Just start receiving him. Don't get caught up in asking for him to touch your needs. Just love him. Just love him and let him do whatever he wants to do. Just love him.